This is Canada Reads American Style, featuring two friends who love Canada Reads and Canadian literature. Welcome our host Rebecca from Michigan and Tara from Ontario. Hi everyone, it is Rebecca and Tara, and we are here for book chat number 16. And let's see, Tara, what have you been up to lately?
Well, it seems like ages since we've done this because of Canada Reads. It's like such a build up to Canada Reads and we're engrossed in it. And it just seems like ages that we've had a regular book chat.
But it does.
Yeah. Canada Reads has ended. The countdown has now begun to next year and we've moved on. I've actually done a couple of little bookish events in the last week or so. So last Sunday, I went to my local bookstore, The Different Drummer, and for a book launch, Peril in Pink by a local author, Sydney Lee. So that was super fun. Peril in Pink is a cozy mystery. Gives me vibes of like a Gilmore Girls, Stars Hollow and stuff like that with Jessica Fletcher.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was a fun little outing. On St. Patrick's Day, actually, I went to that. Wore my pink sweatshirt, so it kind of matched me. And then last night, I did a webinar through the Oakville Public Library. I signed up for it, and it was with Madeline Miller, the American author, and it was on retelling Greek classics, an exploration of the modern epics, which is what she does with her two books, The Song of Achilles and Circe. And that was really enjoyable.
Yeah,
it was really good.
Because you read both of those books, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Greek retellings and stuff like that. So she is fascinating. She's pretty awesome.
Did she mention if she has a new book coming out or anything? Or I know the other one just came out, right?
The Circe was a few years ago.
Right.
So I think she's working on one dealing with Persephone, the myth of Persephone, which is very cool because I like that myth as well. So.
Okay, well, that just prompted me for, thank you for saying that, because then I just remembered I also did a webinar the other night, and it was with Tommy Orange, who wrote There, There, and he has a sequel called Whispering Stars? Is that what it's called?
Wandering Stars.
Wandering Stars. Okay. Thank you for that. And it was funny because it was hosted by the Hennepin County I don't remember which library. Anyway, it was one in Minnesota. And Louise Erdrich was the interviewer. And it was hosted by Birchbark Books, which is her, didn't realize that. I don't know that much about her. So that's her imprint, I guess, or her company or whatever.
It's a brick and mortar bookstore.
Oh, is that what it is? Yeah. Oh, I thought it was a publishing. Oh, isn't that funny? I don't know what I thought. Yeah. Okay. You're right. It's a bookstore. Anyway, so she was hilarious, actually, and he is so charming. I had this completely different view of who I thought he would be because of his book. You know, he grew up in Oakland, California, he lived in Oakland, California, and Oakland has this really tough, rough, reputation. And he was just this really, just this sweet man. I thought he was just adorable, to be honest, and just so seemed kind, like a really kind face and everything. So, and the interview was really interesting. So yeah, thank you for mentioning yours, because that made me remember mine.
Yeah. One of the good things that's come out of the pandemic is the, these virtual webinars and author events that have continued, which I'm really happy. That makes me happy that they're, because I now have access to so many more authors than I normally would.
And that's a really great point. Maybe that's something we could feature more, is letting people know when these virtual events take place. And I'll tell you why. I received a phone call this morning from a friend of mine, and she said, it's the library I used to work here at in Michigan. Work at here in Michigan? Anyway. And she asked me about Adam Schultz, and she said her husband had just read two of his books, and they had just watched the documentary about I can't remember which one it is. But anyway, one of his documentaries, and they really enjoyed it. And we had hosted him at our library virtually here in Michigan. And she goes, isn't that the one? I said, yeah, it is. So again, they saw him on our virtual program. Then they watched the documentary. They read his books. So I think it's a really nice way of meeting authors mm-hmm. that you can't because you don't live in a place where they're going to visit. So, yeah. Which is me here in Flint. So, okay. Anyway, anything else going on with you?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to say, for me, I was telling Tara the other day that I've only read two books this month because, for some of you who may have seen my Instagram stories, my dad, was ill. He passed away February 17th. So I didn't get a lot of reading done in this past month, especially with Canada Reads as well. But I just want to do a shout out too, to my dad's friend, Dick, who is now my best bud. We are like best buds bonded. And he is going to teach me how to do some woodworking. And I already have my plans for a standing herb planter. So when we're supposed to start it next week, and Dick is thinking I'm going to be able to, like, we'll get it done next week. So if I do, if it looks halfway decent, I will post it to my Instagram account so you can see my project. So yeah. And that's a good thing. So it's been a really helpful thing. Haven't got a lot of reading in, but I've been having a pretty peaceful month, I think. So,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. So what are you reading?
Okay. Want me to start? Because
yeah,
I have quite a few, actually, because I've read good books this month that I couldn't, like,
currently reading.
Yes, currently reading. Sorry, yeah. I'm jumping the gun. Okay,
no, that's okay.
I'm going to start with my currently reading then. I'm going to bring my nonfiction book, which is Son of Elsewhere by Elaman Abdul-Mahmoud, who is also a podcaster and radio personality for CBC. I think he hosts the show. I think it's called Commotion on CBC. Anyways, this is his memoir. It's like a collection of essays, actually, from 2022. And I may be 2/3 finished, and I am flipping loving this book. It is so good, Rebecca. I highly recommend it. It is essentially a collection of essays about the immigrant experience of belonging to two places at the same time. So he is from the Sudan and moved here to Canada in his early teens. His father had moved here, I think, about 5 years previous to he and his mother following, and they moved to Kingston, Ontario. And it's so good how he's talking about being Sudanese, being Muslim, and also being Canadian and finding his place in Canada. And he uses in his different essays, like, wrestling and fanfic for writing wrestling, which I did not know existed, which helped him find a community when he was a young teenager through music. So heavy metal music, finding the words for, like, the isolation and sometimes anger that he felt. But then that also led him to finding friends and community. It is so good. There's an essay on, so he was not very old. He was in high school when 9/11 happened. So he has an essay on that, like how he could sense things changing even in his community on that, right at that moment when he was in school. It's so good.
I just looked, and that's his only published book, it's showing. Is that true?
I think so.
So what's he been doing all these years then?
I think a lot of podcasting, BuzzFeed. I think he was a journalist for BuzzFeed for a while. He's into a lot of pop culture, now CBC Radio. But yeah, so I think different in the media, but in a not in the paper sense. But I'm hoping that this is just his first book of many, because he's got a way with words. It's very accessible reading. Let me see if I can explain it so that I don't sound silly. It's like a window book. That's it for me. Like, I am seeing something that I know a little bit about, but I don't have a great understanding of the Muslim community and their experience in Canada. And he is opening this window that you can get and you just kind of like, so I'm, that, oh, he describes there's a lot of music in his books throughout different. And there's one of the essays, a part of one of the essays, he talks about the, what's it called? I think it's the Adhan, which is the call to prayer for Muslims from the mosque at five, that happens five times a day. And he talks about that experience when he was in Khartoum, his home city, and how there's so many mosques that you would just have these reverberating calls to prayer, which I just think is a beautiful image, and that sometimes they would almost harmonize and sometimes they would wait for one mosque to finish and then the next mosque would go. Anyways, it's a really beautiful reading experience.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great way to put it. A beautiful reading experience. I like that. So, all right. What else? Now that's your nonfiction.
That's currently reading. What are you currently reading?
Are you not reading a fiction right now? Is that the only one you're currently reading?
I am. It's a romance for my book club, my local book club. Fangirl Down by Tessa Bailey, who is a very popular American romance writer. This is my first book of hers. It is a golf book.
Golf, like the golf game?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which our book club does a vote. So they gather up, you can throw in some titles. Our main organizer puts them all out and we all vote. I voted for this one because I thought it was football by the pitcher. I didn't even look it up, kind of. So I'm like, well, I like football. I could read a book about football. And this book got chosen, like everyone, the majority voted for it. I'm like, great. And I got it. And I'm like, golf? Like golf? And I started reading. I told Mike, I'm like, I'm reading a golf romance. He's like, you hate golf. I'm like, I know.
Okay. I have to laugh because the last sports athletes that I would think of associated with romance.
Yes.
Golf, maybe golf and bowlers, maybe.
Yes.
But I will say, I know the hottest thing on TikTok, on BookTok, I should say, are hockey romances. Have you read a hockey romance?
No, I've seen them. I've seen the pictures.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
They are, I mean, women are crazy over them. Yeah. It's just amazing. So, so anybody out there, if you've read a hockey romance, please let us know because I'm curious about it.
Yeah. Well, this one is a golf. And I'm so far, I was like, I was cringing because I make fun of it to Mike. I find it really, I've played a little bit, but I'm not a big fan.
Yeah.
I find it really sad and boring to watch. And he's like, sad. And I'm like, I don't know why it depresses me to watch it because it's so quiet, right?
Yeah.
And I had the most fun last week that it was on or something. And when I came in the living room, Mike was watching it. And one of the golfers hit like a bad shot, like it went into the water. And I was like, oh my God, that's so exciting. I'm like, I loved it. And then the next guy got up and he hit a bad shot that went into the trees. And I'm like, this is the most fun I've had watching golf right now. It was so much fun. And then Mike's like, you know, then it continued. And I'm like, okay, now I'm done. And then he went back to it a couple hours later. He went and flicked it on again. He's like, oh, I'm like, dude, I'm like, the moment has passed. Like, I'm not.
He got all excited you were going to join him to watch golf.
I'm like, no, that was 2 minutes of like that. And that's all I got. That's all I got. But anyways, that's my fiction book.
I have to laugh. I just have to say this. My parents both were golfers and my two brothers and my sister all golfed. I'm the only one that did not golf. I played team sports, but I didn't play golf. And it's so funny because I grew up watching golf because they were always watching it. And it never bothered me. It was kind of interesting. But now I was watching golf with my mom the last couple of weeks. And it was interesting because they have all this technology now. They show like when they hit the ball and how it arcs and it tells you the distance. I mean, I have to say, if you're a tech nerd, golf is kind of fun to watch because that part's actually kind of cool. So, but anyway, yeah. Okay. Well, I will tell you what I'm currently reading. We were approached by, I don't know if it was the publicist, for a book that will be published in towards the end of May of this year called Sisters of the Spruce. And the author is Leslie Shimo Takahara. And I'm going to read just a little bit of the beginning of it. And it's I think there will be a lot of people out in the world who will want to read this book. So it says, World War One is in high gear. 14-year-old Kaya Tirada moves with her family to a remote, misty inlet in northern British Columbia, known for its Sitka spruces. The Canadian government has passed an act to expedite logging of these majestic trees, desperately needed for the Allies' aircrafts in Europe. At a camp on the inlet, Kaya's father, Sam, a talented, daring logger with 20 years of experience since immigrating from Japan, assumes a position of leadership among the Japanese and Chinese workers. And of course, all hell breaks loose. Mm-hmm. And it is really, I mean, I'm just barely into it, but I'm really enjoying it. And I do think this is the book that people will want to read, I have a feeling, because there are a couple of reviews on Goodreads, both three five-star reviews. So I'm looking forward to reading that.
Yeah, me too.
So now let's talk about what we've read recently. And I'm actually going to go first because if you don't mind, I'm just going to do my two because I only read two, but I'm going to do mine and try to be brief. So I always say I'm going to be brief and then I never am brief, but I really am going to try to be brief. The reason I want to be brief is I want to talk about My Antonia by Willa Cather. And this is a classic American title, a classic American author. And it's part of my goal of reading 12 women authors, classic authors this year. And I thought, oh my God, it's March. I better get moving on my 12 books because the year has gotten away from me. But the couple things I wanted to say about it, it was published in 1918. It has never been out of print. Wow. So it is definitely worth reading. So even though if you're not a classic book reader, I think this is a beautiful option to read since it has been in print all these years. It is a story within a story, which I love. So the original book that was published in 1918 had a little introduction, and it is supposed to be Willa Cather herself talking to her fictional friend Jim about they're on a train and they're talking about the relationship they had with Antonia, the main character, and they both agree to write what they remember about her. And then what you find out at the end of the introduction is the unnamed author says, well, Jim wrote his part, but I never did. So you're basically hearing Jim's take on Antonia and mm-hmm. their relationship. And it's set in the plains of Nebraska in around the 1880s. And the thing that I love about this so much is, first of all, the language. You know, that classic writing back in the old days, you know, it just feels very elevated. It feels very descriptive and beautiful. And I will say, unlike sometimes what we read today. And so there's just something about that sort of old school style that's just so compelling. But the thing I love about it is, having lived in Los Angeles and having visited New York City, people in New York and Los Angeles often refer to the rest of the United States as flyover states mm-hmm. because they think nothing exists between the two main cities. And even at the time that she published this book, she had criticism for the fact that she was writing about a place that nobody cared about, nobody wanted to read about. And so this is about the settlers who moved into Nebraska, who were trying to farm and eke out a living on this very harsh landscape. And it is absolutely beautiful. Antonia is an unforgettable literary character, again, which is why I think it's never gone out of print. So if you're looking for something like that, if you're in the mood for a classic book, please pick up My Antonia. Let me know if you read it, or if you've read it. If you may have read it for like a college class or something, let me know. I absolutely loved it. Okay, the second book that I read this past month or so is I just finished Wrong Time, Wrong Place by Gillian McAllister, which is the complete opposite of this classic. I also have a book club at the end of the month. It's an online book club. Yours is in person. Mine's online. And they mostly read, I guess, mysteries, which I didn't, or thrillers, that type of thing, which I didn't necessarily know when I first joined the group, but that's okay. It kind of takes me out and gives me something fresh and different to read. And it's basically a story about a woman. It's set in like the Liverpool area of England. And she's an attorney. She's looking out the window, waiting for her 18-year-old son to come back from a party. And she looks out the window and sees that he has stabbed to death a man, an adult male. She runs out there. Her husband runs out there. And her son gets arrested. She and her husband follow and go to the police station. everything's in chaos. They go home. She wakes up, and the next morning, it's the day before. So now nothing has happened. Everything is back to normal. Everything is, it's kind of like Groundhog's Day. It's being repeated. And the rest of the story is that she continues to go back in time. And as far as she can tell, she initially thinks, oh, I want to try to stop him from murdering this man who I don't even know who this is, to then saying, I realize there's something in the past I need to change or correct or do something to in order to not have that ultimately play out. And it ends up going back 20 years. So it's kind of cool because it jumps back. It's kind of going back, and it'll say like day minus one or two or three. And then it starts day like 7,000, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, wait a minute. So I did the math and realized, oh, that's 20 years. So anyway, it's really good. I would say if you like these kind of books, I think it's really good. And it was like, I guess, a Reese Witherspoon book club choice. But I will say that while some of it I did not figure out, I did figure out some of it. So I'm so excited that at the very end, I did figure something out that I read some people in the Goodreads reviews didn't figure out. So I'm kind of proud of myself that I figured out a piece of it. So that's kind of fun. Yeah. Okay, that's it. Those are my two.
Excellent. I'm going to ask you before we move on to mine. So if Willa Cather was your first woman author, who's going to be your next one?
So now I don't really know, but I will say that our friend Jen, who is Jen Book Fiend on Bookstagram, she's actually given me a couple of titles, and one of them is called The Street. I'll include this one, The Street by Ann Petrie. And it's so funny because I had never heard of it before. And she's an African-American writer writing at a time when probably not a lot of Black women were being published in the United States. And it's also a classic, which I just had never heard of. And it was funny because I just saw, you know how they send you those lists that'll say 100 classic books, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I ran through the titles, and the Street was there. So that is actually one that I do plan on reading. And then there was another one by Rebecca West, which I don't remember the title, but I'll include in the show notes, that she also recommended. And I have told people, the list that I created, which I talked about on an earlier podcast at the beginning of the year, I'm totally okay with swapping out titles that I have selected for myself. And if you have a great classic female author that you want to recommend to me, please, you know, let me know. You can either catch me on Instagram or on our YouTube channel. If you listen there, you can put in the titles there as well. So yeah, I'm not quite sure what I will read next, but yeah.
I'm going to put my vote in for the Ann Petrie book.
Yeah.
Do you know that? I know the name. Mm-hmm. I haven't read any of her work either.
Yeah.
But she's been like in my background. Every now and then the name pops up and I keep going, oh, I should kind of look into her. So with you, I get to do it vicariously through you.
Yeah. And actually, I'm going to look her up really quick and I'll tell you what that book is about, because as soon as Jen told me about it, I just went, oh yeah, absolutely. 100%. It's on my list. So It says, The Street tells the poignant, often heartbreaking story of Ludie Johnson, a young Black woman, and her spirited struggle to raise her son amid the violence, poverty, and racial dissonance of Harlem in the late 1940s. And I have to tell you, that time period, I love that time period, and I love urban stories in that time period. So that's why as soon as I saw that, I said, oh my God, like that one 100% is going to be one of the books I'll read.
Nice. Okay. Okay.
All right. Now, I know you have quite a few to talk about, right?
So normally we bring three each, but today I'm bringing five because I had four that I was like, I could not choose between. I couldn't leave like one of them out. And the fifth one also really, really good, but it's different than the other four. So I wanted to throw in something different.
Okay.
Okay. So my first one, nonfiction, and it's Fire Weather, The Making of a Beast by John Valant. Oh man, I love this man's writing. He writes mostly nonfiction, although he has written one fiction book. I've read it all. I'll read anything he writes, but this one was, what do I have here on my notes? A roller coaster of a read.
Ooh.
Here's the setup. So he's essentially talking about climate change and the science of wildfires and why we're seeing so many at the moment. And his touch point for getting into this discussion is the wildfire of Fort McMurray in 2016. And leading up to that, so Fort McMurray is a sizable city in northern Alberta, which is kind of like the where the bitumen petrochemical industry is. So it has it was developed, that city was born just to support the petrochemical industry that was founded there. So its culture is different. So he really goes into the history of Fort McMurray and the culture of it and how the city was even, how it's organized and built and how that in itself led to the wildfire doing the damage that it can and did do, that it did do back then. So that is, it was fascinating because I know very little. Everyone knows Fort McMurray. You know, if you live in Canada, you know Fort McMurray, but I did not know Fort McMurray. So I loved that part of it. Then the second part of the book really gets into the science of climate change and how we got here as a planet. And I know I told Rebecca while I was reading this, I spiraled bad for about the week that I was reading this book because it's just so dark. Because he doesn't hold back. He's going to tell you exactly, which is, you know, we all need to know this. And I think I knew, but you don't know until you really get the facts put out there. So I spiraled quite a bit for about a week while reading this. But I'm glad I read it. And he does give at near the end that little bit of hope that I need in almost any book that I read, in that the petrochemical industry seems to be getting set to have a reckoning, you know. So I should only hope that happens.
You and I talked about it briefly while you were reading it, and you said, yeah, you didn't think it was a book for me, which I agree, because I can't handle, I just get too depressed over climate change stuff. And so I rely on all of those, all of you who can read it and learn from that. But I just can't do it. And I'm happy to hear there's a little bit of hope at the end. Mm-hmm. So that's good.
Yeah, okay. There seems to be on the horizon, hopefully, or maybe that's just what we need to hope.
Yeah.
Anyway, if this topic interests you, I highly recommend it. He's also written a book, I think it was called The Golden Spruce. That was his first nonfiction book about this, like, special rare golden spruce tree that's in the middle of the forest in BC. Fascinating. He wrote a book about tigers in Siberia, like a hunt for this tiger, one tiger in particular that was manhunting people. So fascinating. Like he's a genius. Just read his books. If you love nonfiction, fascinating.
Oh my gosh. He has one called Lines on a Map, Unparalleled Adventures in Modern Exploration. That would totally be up my alley.
I have not read that. Then I take it back. I'm not a completist. I need to read that.
Yeah. That was published in 18.
I missed that.
Oh, never mind. Somebody else wrote it. He wrote the foreword. Never mind.
Oh, that's why. Phew. Okay.
But I like the book.
Back.
Yeah. I think you have read his book. So.
But yeah, that one was great. I'm glad I read it. And also at the same time, I was glad when it was over because I needed it to be over.
Yeah.
Okay. Book number two, continuing my reading goal for 2024 of reading Helen Humphreys. I read my second Helen Humphreys, which was The Lost Garden. Huh? Another beautiful one. Like I finished this book and I went, yep, she is now one of my new favorite authors. Her writing style is fascinating. She is poetic. She writes, she doesn't waste any words. And yet I felt like I wasn't missing anything. Like when the book ended, I feel like you get the whole story. But she's just very, her writing, it's very tight writing. Nothing's wasted.
Yeah.
I love it. This one, just a quick setup, set in World War II. And I know we've a lot of people have read a lot of World War II books. I have not read a lot of them. However, this was a story that I also have not seen before. And it is, so World War II in the countryside of England, these women were sent to basically farm the land, an old estate that had been left empty. They were sent to farm the land and grow supplies for the war effort. And in another manor, house nearby, were some Canadian soldiers that were getting ready to be sent off to war. And it's about the relationships between the women and between the soldiers. And it's beautiful. It was a beautiful book. Yeah. So I'm doing well on my Helen Humphreys challenge.
And, you know, I think you and I talked about this offline, but she is still an active author, correct?
Yes.
And so I think we should reach out to her and see if we can chat with her. Would you like that?
Yeah, that would be awesome.
I know. I'm just looking here to see. And, yep, she's only 62 years old.
Yeah. So. Here's one of the lines I wrote down. It's so short. It's perfect. The sun is clean on my bones. Like, come on, that's a perfect sentence.
Yeah.
That's a perfect sentence.
Mm-hmm.
She's good. It shows her poetry background too, I think. A lot of her writing, mm-hmm. you can see when you find it. It's not surprising when you find out that she was a poet first. Okay.
It says she lives in Kingston, Ontario.
Yes.
Okay. I think we should try to see if we can chat with her.
That'd be cool. I think we should too.
Yeah.
I think we should too. That'd be awesome. Okay, ready for book number three?
Yes.
Okay, another nonfiction, also by a writer who was a poet first, and it is World of Wonders by Amy Nezukuma Tateel, an American poet. I borrowed this one from the library, but it's so beautiful, I want my own copy. So it is a collection of essays and a kind of blends nature writing with memoir. So she creates, through these essays, connections between nature and her childhood growing up as a child of mixed heritage. Her father was from India and her mother is from the Philippines. Her education as a wife and a mother and as an educator. And they're just beautiful essays. Like you think you're going to be reading an essay just about a firefly and it turns into an essay about the relationship with her mother.
Is this the cover that you have?
Yes.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. People, you have to check out the cover. Oh my gosh.
And it's also illustrated. So thank you for reminding me that. So each essay comes along with an illustration. I don't have the name of the illustrator here in front of me. She is not the illustrator, but they are beautiful illustrations as well.
It says Fumi Nakamura is the illustrator. But I have to say, the subtitle, I don't think, did you say the subtitle? Because
I did not. So please go ahead.
In Praise of Fireflies, Whale Sharks, and Other Astonishments. I love that.
It is. It's a beautiful book. It's short. You can like kind of gobble it up super quick. But yeah, at the same time, you just kind of like want to just take each little essay and sit with it for a few minutes before you're ready to move on to the next one. It's pretty awesome.
That's nice. I like that.
Okay. Book four. Oh, another nonfiction. Wow. I'm like really throwing. I know. I'm really throwing the nonfiction ones out here.
Yeah.
And another American author as well. So Better Living Through Birding by Christian Cooper. So Christian Cooper is the man who became unwantedly famous. And I believe it was 2021. He's a black birder, and he was birding in Central Park, which he does all the time. He's lived in New York for decades, I believe, and Central Park is where he birds. And one morning, he had a run-in with a white woman who wasn't happy that she was told to leash her dog in an area in which the dog is supposed to be leashed because it's for bird watching.
Yeah.
So it went viral. And this book, I picked it up thinking that it was going to be about birding and that event, which it is, but it's about so much more. It is his whole life. And I love how he had it set up because he starts the first chapter, can't remember it, but it's called like an incident in Central Park or something like that. So you're like, oh my God, he's getting into it like right from the beginning. No, he's not. He's talking about an incident from like 20 years ago that happened when he was birding. And then he leaves it with like, that will lead up to another incident several years later. So he bookends it. So you get like one event in Central Park that is almost what gets him into birding. And then he ends his book with the big event in Central Park. But you get like lots of information about that, all the details, which are fascinating. And he goes into a little more that, you know, I wasn't aware of. But in between that, you get his whole life up to this point. So growing up as a young Black boy in America, this education, getting into birding, his work with Marvel, the comic book company, and being queer. And getting the first queer character into a Marvel comic, like it is super fascinating. He mentioned, I did not know this, but Marvel used to put out a swimsuit issue every year, like the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue, but it was just like female comic book characters. And one day his boss came up to him and told him, put him in charge of this year's edition. And he's like, you have the wrong person. Like, I'm a gay man. And he's like, no, I think you can do this. And he was like, well, if I'm doing it, I'm making this into the queerest swimsuit edition that we've put out. And he did. He made it like equally male and female representation. In his book, he put a little quote from someone who had reviewed it, who said that just by looking at this swimsuit edition, you become 3% gayer than you were than when you started. but said that in like a positive way.
Yeah, so that's cute.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. It's a fascinating story. And he's a traveler, so he goes all around the world traveling in search of birds, which is beautiful. The book is smattered with like little birding tidbits. He also, this was probably my favorite part of the book, goes into his relationship with his father, which was a challenging relationship from childhood. And then difficult. They were estranged for a bit. And then he spends a whole chapter going really into the relationship. And it is where the relationship goes. It's beautiful. And how he presented it. It was really heartwarming. That was my favorite chapter of the book.
Oh, wow. I'm interested, too, in how well he was able to rebound after that whole Central Park thing that happened. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I remember when that happened, and it's just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I don't even know. You know, he's this innocent guy just birding in the park. He makes one comment, and all hell breaks loose. But you know what? Hey, a great book came out of it. So, and it sounds like... it sounds really, really good.
It's really, really good. It is. I think he came out of that so strongly because his family has a huge background in activism. Like they have always been political activists. His parents got he and his sister into it. So they've never backed down from something. So I think that's what really gave him the courage in that. But when he sent out that video, he did not mean to send out that video to create what happened, what happened with her and the repercussions that happened with her. That were not his intentions. Mm-hmm. He had initially on Facebook put it out there because there's a large birding population in Central Park, which I didn't realize. And he was just like more that he put it out there going, hey, fellow birders, this is what happened to me this morning. Just a heads up, you know, that these unleashers are really getting out of control kind of thing.
Yeah.
Beyond the heads up. And it was his sister who saw it and said, we need to share this.
Yeah.
People need to know what's going on.
Yeah. I remember that part too, that he did. He put it out there just to say, hey, heads up everybody.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of blew up. So, but I'm glad it did because that's not something I would have thought about for crying out loud.
No.
I mean, right? Gosh. Well, thank you. That I love that. That was a good title. I think I might read that one.
Oh, yeah. I think you should. I think you'll really like it. Okay. My last book is A Man Downstairs by Nicole Lundrigan. So this book just came out a couple of weeks ago, March 4th, actually, Canadian author, and it is a thriller. So I wanted to throw something different in from the other books. It's a compulsive read, which is what you want in a thriller. You don't want like a boring thriller. With unlikable characters. I love unlikable characters.
Me too.
I really do. I don't need to like my characters, but I need to know I want to know their story. And I did. So the main character, I can't remember her name now, but she moves back to her childhood home to take care of her father he's older, he's ill, he needs help. He can't live by himself anymore. So after a divorce, she has moved back to her hometown with her teenage boy. And when she gets there, she has to confront her past. Her and her father are very close. Her mother was murdered when she was like, I think 5 or 6 years old, and she was a witness. And as a witness, a teenage boy was convicted of the crime. And now she is back in her hometown, and she is realizing that maybe what she saw that night when isn't exactly what she saw.
Yeah.
And she's getting threats, insinuations that, you know, maybe she didn't get the full story. Ooh. And now she's trying to figure out the full story of what happened tonight.
I'm going to recommend that one to my mom. I think she would definitely love it. And it also sounds like it passes the Sherry Lapina test about,
yes,
as you said, it's compulsive, you know, or what was the word you used? Not compulsive. What was the word you used?
I think I said compulsive.
Was it? Yeah. 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 It would be that kind of a read.
Yeah. And it's really what I really liked about this one too. So it alternated chapters between the main character and an unknown male character.
Ooh.
Who's kind of like watching our main character. So you're getting his chapter is him like as he's watching her or as he's like commenting on stuff that happened in the past. And you don't know who he is. But there are lots of potential male characters that this could be. And the ending is really cool because the ending kind of comes in waves. Like you have like a climax and then it goes down and you're like, oh, resolution. I'm like, oh, that's, you know, boom, another ending. Like I love that there's like a double ending. So it's like pretty sweet, pretty sweet.
Oh my gosh. That one sounds fabulous. All right. Well, now is that everything?
That is everything. Now I'm done. Thank you for your patience.
No, that was an amazing list. And I think you've given a wide variety of themes and subjects and fiction, nonfiction. So I think this is amazing. And I will just say that if you have read any of these, we'd love to hear from you. Let us know. If there's anything you want to read, let us know. We always like it when you all sort of add things to your TBR. So we're always excited about that.
And add to our TBR. I don't mind a growing TBR.
I know. I tell you, you always add to my TBR. So.
Likewise.
So anyway, all right. So that's it, I think, until we see you again. And thank you for listening.
And happy reading. Thank you for joining us on our bookish journey. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing, rating, and reviewing Canada Reads American Style wherever you listen. You can connect with the podcast and Rebecca on Instagram at Canada Reads American Style and with Tara at On a Branch Reads. Until next time, keep reading.